Henry on the ground. 26 for 149, a touchdown run of 13, a long run of 34. Colts had three second-half turnovers, and they were huge. Titans with 24 unanswered second-half points. A big win on the road. So Tennessee and the Colts split their two-game season series, and each winning on the road.
And boy, did they need it. Floyd, did you notice yesterday when they kept showing the standings and they would show Tennessee and Indianapolis, both 6-5, and then right next to it, division record, Indy 3-1, Tennessee 1-2.
Right.
And I kept seeing that and thinking, oh, dear God, if they don't improve that division record with where the Colts are at 3-1, that could be really, really bad. But the Titans will have their shot to be 4-2, just like Indy will have their shot to be 4-2. And the Titans get the win, and the Texans win, so that kind of finagles things around. But Tennessee clearly in second place, and they are tied with Pittsburgh, and only Pittsburgh, for the last playoff spot. Now, they go to Oakland this week, so that will play a role in it. Indy has a very soft schedule the rest of the way. That will play a role in it for the wild card, maybe even the division. But the Titans are in a good spot as you turn the corner into December. It is time, though, for Floyd's three things. Three up and three down. Three things the GM liked. Three things the GM did not like from yesterday's win at Indianapolis. We start with the three things the GM liked. What was the first thing you liked against the Colts?
Number one.
First thing for me is the big plays. I mean, we've kind of seen games where we got the big plays on defense. You know, we got a fumble or an interception or whatever the case may be. We haven't had as many across the board as we did yesterday, and we actually hit every facet of the game. You know, we had the big plays on the big play on offense, long ball. We on defense, we got fumbles, we got interceptions, big plays, and then of course the special teams, block kicks and I guess block field goals. So, I mean, the big plays and really, you know, after all the numbers, after everything else that's important is hashed out, big plays will win or lose you more games than anything else. All the turnovers and the turnover ratios and all the, you look at those numbers on a weekly basis, and if you're doing good in that area, you're probably winning games.
I counted three big plays yesterday. The touchdown to Raymond, the blocked kick, and then I included the Byard interception. Am I missing any big plays from yesterday's game that stand out? You don't count Henry's 4th-and-1 13-yard touchdown as a big play, do you?
No.
Yeah, I don't either. So three big plays yesterday? Raymond?
No, we got a fumble. Didn't we get a fumble?
No. I don't think the Titans got a fumble.
Yeah, Trey Smith.
Oh, at the end of the game, yeah. Where Vrabel challenged
that.
Does that count as a big play?
A fumble?
The game was over.
Well, what are we worried about? Derek fumbled in the ball then.
Because the game had just started.
It doesn't matter. Fumble's a fumble.
No, yes, it does matter.
No.
Yes, it...
If fumble is a big play, whether it's the first snap of the game or the last snap of the game.
Well, then you committed three big plays already off the bat. You gave them three big plays, plus the play where you left Jack Doyle uncovered for a touchdown. That did not sit well with me either, but it is what it is. On to the second thing the GM liked.
Number two.
Number two for me is once again, for whatever reason, it's so interesting to me, but we have developed a great capacity to finish these games out. And maybe it's because we don't start fast. Maybe it's because we, you know, takes us a minute to get rolling. But we have found in the last several weeks a way to win these games late. If it has to be a goal line stand, we can do that. If it has to be a block kick, we can do that. If it has to be a long ball, we can do that. It doesn't matter what it is. But it has helped us finish every one of these games. And that is a giant plus for any team to have. And right now, that's one of the areas we have to really, really feel confidently about.
I'll tell you why I think that they're finishing games off well and why they haven't done it in the past, and now they're starting to finish games off. The quarterback is why they're finishing these games off. even when you want to just run it with Derrick Henry, in most cases, the other team knows that, so they're going to keep Derrick Henry from running it. They'll get the ball back, and they'll get their chance. In this case, they knew Derrick Henry was going to get the ball, and Tannehill throws a 40-yard touchdown pass to Khalif Raymond. To me, the quarterback is the reason you're able to finish. He's the guy
that position
comes in there.
What position does he play on the goal line?
Quarterback.
On defense?
How many games have you won with the defense at the
goal
line? Two. One.
We got one on the goal line. We got one in short yardage, fourth and one. We stopped them. Ended up winning the game with it. I mean, we've had a couple
Which
of those
Which one was fourth
kinds.
And one?
It was the next week, as a matter of fact.
Tampa Bay? Titans stopped Tampa Bay on a fourth and one?
Or a goal line, one or the other.
The Chargers was the goal line.
The Chargers was the goal line.
Was the crazy
right.
one.
Yeah. Right. That's the one that they got. Then the one right after that.
That was the field goal that they, or the fumble that they didn't call a fumble in that Tampa game,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. No, that was the Chargers.
And that was goal line.
I don't know, whatever. Third thing you liked.
Number three.
Third thing, I mean, you have to go to the run game. I mean, once again, you can't deny what that is and how that, you know, has become our personality. Although I don't think it's, I don't think anybody's trying to deny that. I mean, that is in fact who we are, and there's nothing wrong with that. You just have to understand how to play that, and you have to understand how you're going to win games and what people have to do to allow you to win games. So, I mean, the run game was just great again.
I concur with all three. Three things you did not like, three down.
Number one.
First thing for me are the turnovers. I mean, they scare me to death because it's only a matter of time. It's Russian roulette. Every time a ball hits the ground or we throw an interception or whatever happens, you're playing Russian roulette and it's going to cost you dearly down the line. So we have to do something about that.
Knowing your history with the Colts, did it not feel like it was trending in that direction when your two star players, Tannehill and Henry, both fumble early in the game?
You know, I didn't. Because they didn't get 14 points out of it, it didn't concern me right off the bat. You know, it was close. What concerned me more was we turned right around and got the opportunity to do the same and couldn't do squat.
Mm-hmm.
That ticked me off more than anything.
Oh, I thought you were going to run away with the game. Derrick Henry gets the touchdown. Here comes Landry to force Brissett to chuck it to Byard. And I'm like, all right, now Tannehill's going to find Jonnu Smith. Game over. Here come the Titans. Nope. Just three downs, nothing. See ya.
Sad.
Second thing you didn't like.
Number two.
Our pass protection and our pass rush. I thought particularly in the first half, we could not protect the quarterback, could not pick up blitzes, could not. I mean, who was it? I think Lewis one time tried to cut one of the outside linebackers blitzing. Missed him, sack. Those kinds of things have got to be corrected. And our pass rush, I didn't like at all in the first half. We didn't get anything out of the pass rush, and we're trying to play zone. And in the meantime, the quarterback and the tight end, and we took who was that kid that was on our practice squad last
Pascal.
Year? Got him to the Pro Bowl. So, I mean, those are the kind of things that happen when you're not able to affect the quarterback.
Do you think Dean Pease realizes that he cannot play zone with this team because they cannot get a pass rush? I mean, we've only seen it every single week. The only way Dean gets pressure on the other team's quarterback is to send Logan Ryan or Kenny Vaccaro. Those are the best blitzers on the team. One, Harold Landry. Two, Logan Ryan. Three, Kenny Vaccaro.
And Logan has been, I think Logan's just had an outstanding year. I mean, he's doing so much for us.
I know, but I'm watching the game, and I'm like, they're going to blitz Logan right here. And here comes Logan running like, I need, especially with Butler and Sims out, I need Logan covering. Because that's what Logan does. And I know they're blitzing him out of necessity, but they can't blitz Logan every play. At some point, they're just going to have to put Logan on the line and line him up at defensive end and just say, go, Logan.
Get him a three-point.
We're getting there. And the third and final thing you didn't like.
Number three.
The third thing for me was the missed opportunities. We had way too many chances to really put this thing away early, and could not do it. I mean, we got the interception. It's first and 10 on the 34, and I think we end up gaining 2 yards on the series. I mean, that's ridiculous. You know, you've got we got the ball in the 48 twice and really didn't get anything out of it. And those are, when you're playing good teams and teams that you have got to beat, when you get an opportunity to get the ball in midfield, and certainly if you can get it in their area, but if you can get it in midfield, that is great field position, and you have got to take advantage of it. So that's something that I would, if it was me, I would emphasize the fact that, you know, these quick quick turnovers, how you react to it, you know, from a team standpoint. You going in thinking, okay, crank it up here. We got to make this happen versus, you know, ho-hum, what are we going
to
do now?
Can I tell you the other thing, too, that bothers me about that is here's your opportunity to strike, and they can't do it. And I'm like, I know you can do it. I watch you enough to know that you guys, when you get that ball, when Byard intercepts that ball, like last year, remember that Cleveland game where Byard had 3 interceptions? And I remember when Byard would pick the pass off, and I'd be like, go, 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 because if he didn't score a touchdown, I felt like they weren't going to score on that. Now, Byard intercepts the ball, puts it down there. I feel great. This is a great red zone team.
Yeah.
This quarterback knows what to do with it. This running back is unstoppable. I feel great about it. And they get the big turnover, and they can't do anything with it. That's where you win the game. That's where, at Oakland, if that situation comes up and Carr makes a big mistake and you get the ball on the 32-yard line, that's got to be points. And that's I'm with you on that. To get 2 yards after you get the big play, after you've got the momentum in the game, you got to take advantage of those moments. And even in the Chiefs game, they had a couple of those moments where they didn't totally take advantage of it. And those are the things that can just absolutely kill you at the end of the game. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, what Derrick Henry is doing. Now, I don't think Derrick Henry's going to the Hall of Fame, but what he's doing is legitimately Hall of Fame level. What do we make of that? We'll discuss next. Jared and the GM, Titans Monday live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 102.5, the game.
Fourth and one, Henry. Look at him go. Stiff arms, he's a sledgehammer, he's in. Touchdown, Tennessee. What a play. Derrick Henry, 13-yard touchdown run. And the Titans are back in business.
Just look how well Derrick Henry uses that stiff arm. This time it's going to be the right arm, and he has the ball in the left hand. Just watch him put that stiff arm on Hooker. He's not able to get him on the ground. He almost rips his glove off. It was really well done by Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry let the big dog eat. And ever since they've started letting the big dog eat, the Titans have been winning, and they have been killing it. And Floyd, you said last year, this time last year was when Derrick got on his roll, and you kept saying, all right, I got to see more than one game. All right, I got to see more than 4 games. All right, I got to see it more. Are we getting to the point now where it's, okay, this is who he is? The big runs, the big days, the 150. Right now, he is one of those good days away from being the leading rusher in the NFL. Nick Chubb leads the NFL at 1175. Which, if his coach wasn't a moron and gave him the ball more, Nick Chubb would be winning by, or would be leading by, a lot more. 1175 for Chubb, 1167 for McCaffrey, 1140 for Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is one long touchdown away from being in charge and in the lead in the NFL in rushing. And not only that, the stats are outstanding for Henry in his last 16 games. Now, this is the most convenient 16 because, you know, his 16th game was Jacksonville last year. But in his last 16 games, 319 carries, 1,725 yards, and 18 touchdowns. I think you would take that from your starting running back for a season, 1,700 yards and 18 touchdowns. Meanwhile, on top of that, as he continues to do what he does, Mike Herndon said that according to Pro Football Reference, the only players in NFL history to have three straight games of at least 149 on the ground and one touchdown were Jim Brown in 1958, the Juice, O.J. Simpson, I'm just saying, in 1967, Eric Dickerson, 1984, Adrian Peterson, 2012, and the big dog, Derrick Henry, this year. Floyd, he's running like a Hall of Famer right now. What do we make of this?
Well, I mean, are you talking about just the numbers?
Yeah, because he's not a Hall of Fame running back. Well, yeah, but those, he is playing numbers, like a Hall of Famer.
The numbers are skewed a little bit from last year. Now, if you just take the numbers this year, they're still awful good. I mean, he's the bottom line is he's put together. Last year, we were worried about just being four games. And this year, he's kind of put it together for however many games we played. You know, I mean, he's gone out on and when we talked in the offseason, I said, I don't, you know, all those 150 or 200, all that, that's all great. That's all well and good. But if I could just get, you know, 70, 80, 90 on a consistent basis, on a weekly basis, it would make a difference. And that's what he's been able to do. So, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's certainly the personality of this group. And that's and it's a good personality to have.
I think my thing is you can win with a Hall of Fame running back, and that's what he is right now. He is now. He may never be a Hall of Fame running back. I have no idea what the shelf life of Derrick Henry's career is going to be like. I worry because he's so big that he signs a new deal, and in 2 years, he just can't hit the hole anymore. I worry about it. There's a part of me that looks at a guy like Frank Gore and the way he takes care of himself and the way Derek takes care of himself and thinks maybe Derek can do something like this for a long career because he never slowed down and he didn't get a ton of carries the first 2 years of his career, so they didn't beat him up and all of that. I don't know. But right now, he is running like a Hall of Fame running back. He is running like O.J. Simpson right now. He is statistically running like those players, and it's not a fluke. He did it 150 yards at Kansas City in the playoffs, 200 yards last year, 170 the next week. I mean, he did like that kind of game. His game yesterday, think about how impressive it was when it didn't have a long touchdown run. All the other games had the long touchdown runs. His didn't even have the long touchdown run that inflates the numbers. That's how good he was yesterday. And I just wonder if we're appreciating what he's doing enough and knowing what this team could be because he is performing like a Hall of Fame running back right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's putting up great numbers. I mean, there's no doubt about that. They and that's what we need, you know. I mean, we're going to need it. It makes this entire team better. Not just what he's doing, but it helps the offensive line. It helps the quarterback. It helps the defense. I mean, those series where, you know, you're holding on to the ball and you're going down and they're, you know, 8, 10, 12 play series, the whole time the defense is sitting over there drinking Kool-Aid. So,
well, not only that,
that's a good thing.
He caught three passes yesterday.
Right.
It's not like he's a total nobody in the passing game either.
Right.
You know what? I'm convinced that you just do not appreciate Derek for what he is. Not to say that you don't like him or don't think he's good, but he is playing like a Hall of Famer right now.
I don't see you. This is what you're missing about it. All those other guys that you mentioned in there, you need to look at the receiving yards they had.
Like OJ and those guys?
Yeah. And then compare them. Because they're getting, you know, they've got 1,700 rushing, but they got another 800 receiving.
In the 16 games, Derek has like 250 yards receiving.
Okay.
But throw him the ball more. I think Derek can help this team out of the backfield. Not consistently, but he can at least do it. But, again, he's running like a Hall of Famer right now. And they're going to have to resign him. There's no choice there. They have to decide to sign one guy long-term, Henry or Tannehill, and they have to franchise tag the other guy. If not, sign both guys long-term.
It doesn't matter to me. I mean, you'd like to get the quarterback signed up long-term simply because the...
I'm just saying they both have to come back.
Yeah. I mean, you'd love to get them both back.
No, you can't not have Derrick Henry come back next year.
Well, that ultimately will be up to Derrick.
Well, you tag him.
Oh, you tag him.
Would
I
you?
Mean, the franchise for Derrick's a lot cheaper than the franchise for Tannehill.
Well, would you let him walk out of your door this year?
Would I let him?
Would you let him hit free agency?
Well, if you have no choice, you have no choice. I mean, it's the John Runyon dilemma.
Okay.
You know?
Well, just so you know, right now he's running like Jim Brown. So you are telling Jim Brown that it is okay to leave right now. I just want you to think that through.
I've already thought it through.
Because you wouldn't let Eddie George do that.
Guess what? I mean, I love what he's doing. That's. I'll leave it there.
Don't let Jim Brown leave.
But for trying to compare Derek, that I love dearly, to Jim Brown and OJ, you're on drugs.
I'm not saying he is Jim Brown.
You're on drugs.
I'm just saying what he's doing right now is like Jim Brown, or statistically speaking, is like Jim Brown.
There we go.
It's better than Zeke. What he's doing statistically is better than Zeke. And I'm just saying, take care. All right, let's take your phones. 615. What do you think of Derrick Henry playing the way he's playing right now, which is, numbers-wise, like a Hall of Famer? 615-737-1025. Hey, if you miss any of our show, we've moved our on-demand audio to Apple and Spotify. Search Jared and the GM in Apple or Spotify, or log on to thegamenational.com to find our daily audio. Rate, review, subscribe today. Plus, we're giving away a pair of Preds tickets for tomorrow night later this hour, so keep listening. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Henry on the ground, 26 for 149, a touchdown run of 13, a long run of 34. Colts had 3 second-half turnovers, and they were huge.
He's the key to it all, Kevin. When Derrick Henry plays well and has enough carries, the Titans are tough to beat. 26 carries today for a 149 for Derrick Henry.
Rich Gannon, when he gets it, they are tough to beat. And that is the truth. The Titans have been lighting up with Derrick Henry out there. By the way, and this comes from Marcus Mosier, who covers the Cowboys, in the last 16 games, Zeke has 5 less carries than Derrick Henry. Zeke's got 314 carries to Derrick's 319 carries. Derrick has 11 more touchdowns, 18-7, and has almost 400 more rushing yards. Derrick, 1,725, Zeke, 1,350. And Zeke's making about 11, what is he making, $13.5 million a year?
I don't know.
So don't let Jim Brown walk out the door, because right now, that's what he's performing at. Is he Jim Brown? No.
Thank you.
But is he performing statistically like Jim Brown? Yes. Is he performing statistically like O.J. Simpson? Yes. Is he performing statistically like, I don't know, give me a Hall of Fame running back? The answer is yes. If Jerome Bettis is in the Hall of Fame, like Derrick Henry, you know, has more big plays in him than Jerome Bettis ever had.
How are you defining big plays?
Well, the bus was never running 75-yard touchdowns on the reg.
No, but yeah, he got a lot of 30s and 40s. I'm going to tell you that now. So,
who is a better running back, Derrick Henry or Jerome Bettis?
Jerome's played for 15 years. I mean, he played a long time.
Derrick at his peak of what you're seeing now, or Bettis at his peak?
I think I'd have to take Bettis.
How?
At his peak.
Bettis wasn't running for 238 a game.
Bettis was, I mean, you're forgetting all the passing yards and the other things that go into all this.
Bettis was a good receiver?
Yes, for a big guy.
They used to put Amos Zeraway in and throw the ball to him.
And they threw to him too. But only because, you know, the bus was tired.
Well, Derrick Henry doesn't get tired. And that's another thing of the superhero that is Derrick Henry. Let's go to your phones. 615-737-1025. Austin is up next on Tannehill and Derrick Henry. Go ahead, Austin.
Hey, I have an interesting thing about this coming up offseason, about retaining both of them, actually. I read earlier today how the Titans could tag Tannehill and use what's called a transition tag on Derrick Henry because it's the last year of the CBA, collective bargain agreement. There's, I guess, a special clause that they can actually use both the transition tag and the franchise tag this year. So using that transition tag on Derrick Henry, I guess allowing them the right to match whatever another team could offer Derrick Henry in the offseason, which in the long run may or may not save him money this offseason. I'm not really too sure on the particulars. Maybe Floyd Reese may know more about that, but just an interesting thing, and I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, no, Austin, you pretty well got it. I mean, that's kind of, you have one franchise and one transition, and you can use them both if you want to. Now, the numbers for transition are not near as foreboding as they are for a franchise, but it does give teams a chance, if they really want to bid you up, and, you know, you've ultimately have to decide if you want to match it or not, whatever that number may be.
I think the Titans are going to keep Derrick Henry. I don't know how they're going to do it, but I think they are going to keep Henry. I am convinced that they believe in him. I think that they know he's the best player on the team. They know that their only shot at winning is by giving the ball to Derrick Henry, and because of that, I think they will keep Derrick Henry. But I do find it funny. It's like a lot of the callers and a lot of fans want to talk about, well, Jared, what can we do to keep Tannehill? Well, Jared, what about keeping Henry? And we talk about that all the time. But right now, I'm just thinking about how you can use Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill to beat the Oakland Raiders so that you can get yourself in position to give you the shot to show down with the Texans.
Right.
And that should be what the fans really care about. I mean, let's be honest. Do you really think the Baltimore Ravens are going to run away with the AFC and go to the Super Bowl? They might. I'm not saying they're not going to, but I have a belief that if you get on the field with the Ravens, you got a shot. Now, I think I would probably pick the Ravens, and they would be favored, but I think if you got in a playoff game with the Ravens, I think the AFC is so close this year that if you got into a game with the Ravens, you could have a shot to beat the Ravens.
There are a lot of teams that are in the mix, yeah. I would agree with you, and a lot of good teams.
You, Kansas City.
Yeah, and I mean, it's the same deal. You go out there one day and you know, you don't have a good day, and all of a sudden you end up losing going home. That's why the playoffs are so, you know, scary, if you will. You go in, it's one and done. You get one shot, baby. But I mean, that's the way it's been forever, and it's going to be the same.
I don't think the Titans' playoff chances this season of going deep in the playoffs is based upon the any given Sunday philosophy. Like, I think you legitimately can compete with anybody in the AFC, and you legitimately can lose to anybody in the AFC except for Cincinnati, Miami, those teams. Like, I think you're better than Buffalo, but you've already lost to Buffalo. I don't think you're as good as Kansas City, but you already beat Kansas City. Like, I think there's a lot at play here. And that's why I still think if you just get to the playoffs, you got a shot to go far. Here's the best path. The best path is to win the South and get a home game against Buffalo in the first round, because I think you beat Buffalo, you get them a second time, make some field goals. And now, you know, you're headed to Baltimore. I think you can beat Baltimore. I know everyone out there thinks I'm crazy for saying that I think you could beat the Ravens. I think you could beat the Ravens. It would be an ugly game. It would be hideous. You would have to win the way that they beat you in 2000, where I think they had like 89 total yards of offense, but they busted one coverage on Shannon Sharpe and Ray Lewis. They blocked a kick, returned it for a touchdown. We've seen that. And then Ray Lewis had the pick six, and that's how they beat you. You would have to win a game in that fashion. But I legitimately think the Titans could do that. So I'm worried about Henry and Tannehill. I'm worried about them for the stretch run this year more than I am about what to do for next year, because this team proved by beating Indianapolis that they're in the thick of it. And that's where I kind of put my foot down. And unlike Buffalo and Pittsburgh, they don't get the gift of getting four guaranteed division victories every year. Whereas, like, if you got the Jets and you got who's the other crap team in there? Miami. You got the Jets and Miami, that's four wins right there. You don't get that. So you got to take them out on the Texans. Let's go to Adam, who's up next on Derrick Henry. What's up, Adam?
Yeah, so it seems easier to me than I think everybody's overcomplicating this. Yes, we have money. We're not cash strapped. So you're going to have to pay Henry a premium. You're going to have to pay Tannehill a premium. And you got to pay Logan Ryan. Let Conklin go. He was not impressive this year. I don't care what anybody says. Logan Ryan's probably the most important piece of all that right there. But Henry, man, he's the identity we've been looking for a long time. And so, yeah, you absolutely got to pay him. Jared, by the way, I would pay money out of my bank account to you for you to never say let the big dog eat again. Like, I did not want you to be sick, and I hated it that you were out sick, but I knew I wouldn't have to hear it that day, and I was actually pretty happy about that. So I would pay you money not to ever say that again.
How much?
I maybe $50 a week. I don't know if that's important to me.
$50 a week?
$250 a week. No, $50 a day, $250 a week to never say that again.
$250 a week?
Pretty good.
You're talking about $1,000 a month.
To never hear that again? Yeah, that's how much I hate it.
For how long?
I don't know. A year? I don't know, maybe.
Okay, so you're talking about you're going to give me $52,000 in order to not say let the big dog eat.
No, it's not $1,000 a week.
Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right.
$12,000. Still,
you're going to give me $12,000 to not say let the big dog eat.
I'm hoping I drive my point home here, man. That's how much I hate it.
Jared and the GM. And we're going to have a big announcement about this, or I think it's already been announced. But Jared and the GM, we're going to be giving back to the Pencil Foundation. It is a nonprofit organization that raises money for school supplies for Metro Nashville teachers. If you make a $12,000 donation to them right now, you will never hear me say that again.
Oh, my God. You can't. I'm strapped. I mean, I'm a little stretching, but I will make a donation to them for you. You know, even if you do say that, I'll still make a donation to that just because I like you guys.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you so much, Adam.
Yeah, later.
I would give up.
That was nice of Adam. Thank you.
That was very nice of Adam. And I would give up saying let the big dog eat if it meant school supplies for the kids.
Floyd's
what am I supposed
mute.
To do? Cheer? I mean, that's
what it's selfless is what I am.
Oh yeah, we just heard how selfless you are.
What
negotiating with a caller during the show
for
Mr.
school supplies
selfish.
For the kids? School? Did you know that $1,100 to the Pencil Foundation is $100,000 in school supplies for Metro Nashville students so that the teachers don't have to use their own money on school supplies? You know, there's a huge dry erase marker shortage right now, and that is $100,000 for the students. So if Adam were to be kind enough and it were to fit his budget to make a $12,000 donation to the Pencil Foundation on behalf of Jared and the GM, that would be over $1,000,000 in school supplies for Metro Nashville students. You do know that, right? Are you mad about charity over here? You look like you're mad. Floyd is anti. Are you anti-charity?
Let me say this. I was on the Pencil Board of Directors for years.
I know, and they should bring you back.
So, you know, I mean, I understand all about that.
And
I thought this was a sports talk show. That's my mistake.
Well, we're trying to get back to the community, Floyd. 615-737-1025. Back to your phones. Plus, we're giving away bread tickets. Plus, did the Texans give us a scare last night? We'll discuss Jared and the GM on Titans Monday. It is ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Got him, go! Five runs, three passes. A little trickery here. Hopkins and more trickery to Watson. Touchdown. Oh, baby. Like a 4x100 relay. Not a give and take here.
Handoff. Yep. Option play out wide, perfectly executed.
Against a team like the Patriots, who's been doing it for so long, and you know, with the talent and the things they've been doing for this season, it was big for us. It builds our confidence. It builds the momentum for us to continue to try to push on. And it just shows us and shows the world that we can play with anybody at any given day if we come up and play.
Deshaun Watson. Floyd, I got my popcorn out yesterday. After the Titans beat the Colts, I said, all right, now you got to root for Kansas City to beat Oakland. They did. I thought Baker and the Browns were going to get back into that game, maybe beat the Steelers.
Nah.
That would have been so nice. Yep. But what would have been nice would have been Brady and Belichick to go to Houston and beat the Texans and put the Titans in a tie for first place with the Texans, and they couldn't do it. Houston kicked that butt, as yours truly predicted on the show on Wednesday, that they would do. Which now means, of course, the Texans have a game advantage on the Titans. But as Al Michaels kept saying yesterday, they play Tennessee two of the last three times. After the dismantling of the Patriots, are you more worried about the Texans than you were going into yesterday and about how the Titans may actually match up against Deshaun the Great and the Texans?
I mean, I don't know that I'm more worried. I mean, I was worried to begin with. I mean, I think they've got a good team. I'm not sure that that New England team last night, I mean, that team kind of played the way it played against us last year.
I thought the exact same thing watching that game last night.
It was not. The quarterback couldn't do anything. The defense that has been just outstanding couldn't do anything. I mean, it just wasn't, you know, they had that flu thing that affected however many guys, 15 guys or whatever the number was, and I have to think that maybe that had something to do with it, but I don't know. But it was, I mean, New England was not, it was a great win for Houston. I mean, I certainly didn't want them to win, but it was a great win for them. But, I mean, I don't, you know, I've been concerned about Houston from the beginning.
Well, I just walked away from that game saying New England last night was a bad matchup for Houston, simply because New England's receivers are not good.
Yeah,
they are bad. And you go back to last year and you say, okay, well, you know, Brady has won with a lot of no-name guys before, and that's true. But Edelman right now, I think Edelman's hurt because he can't, like, lift his arms to catch the ball right. Gronk is not in there. I mean, you could tell Brady was yelling at his receivers on the sidelines because telling them to be faster. Well, they can't be faster, Tom. I mean, they are what they are. And I look at the Titan receivers, and I'm like, you know, I trust the Titan receivers way more than I trust the New England receivers.
Well, they have, you know, Edelman has always been the guy, and Gronk was the guy on the other side, or, you know, they always had one or the other, and they kind of made you decide, okay, which one do you want to double? And then the ball will go to the other guy. And, well, now without Gronk, then they can go ahead and double Edelman all the time, which they did. And virtually took him out of the game. You know, he wasn't much of a factor, really. And I agree with you. I mean, he's beat to heck. You know, he is just, he's that little old stocky body of his, and he goes running there. Man, he plays hard.
I mean, there's a reason why
he takes a bunch of punishment. I mean, he takes a lot of big hits.
There's a reason why Belichick took a shot on AB. Because Belichick knew. Like,
well, he had all those. He had the Gordon in. He had AB in.
He's taking a shot on everybody.
Sure?
I mean, he's taking a shot.
Trying
he gave a second-round pick, didn't he, for Sanu?
I don't know.
Sanu's not worth a second-round pick. Sanu is, he can't
hasn't come
run.
To life. He hasn't come to life in this offense like I thought he would.
Well, he can't
I
run.
I thought with he and Tom, you know, Tom was going to find a way to get him the ball a bunch of times, but he has not stepped up, which to me means one thing. He's not running the right routes. And if he's not doing it the way Tom wants it, then, you know, you're not getting the ball.
So that leaves him with Jacoby Myers. Whereas, I mean, the Titans, like right now, I was watching that game yesterday and I thought, where would Khalif Raymond fit in right now on the Patriots? And I think he would fit in as the number two wide receiver. I mean, Chris Hogan's not there anymore. Danny Amendola's not there anymore. Gronk's not there anymore. Martellus Bennett's not there anymore. I mean, that's a lot of people that they've lost who they need. I mean, it's too bad the trade deadline's passed because I would offer them Deion Lewis, and they might actually take him because they're just so desperate for Brady to have someone to get the ball to. I thought yesterday's loss, I think it was a lot like that Titan game last year where you just couldn't believe how bad New England was.
Yeah, they just played awful. I mean, and Tom, I mean, Tom's, I'm a little worried. I've seen Tom play three times now.
I'm getting worried.
It's all three have been kind of iffy. And that's not Tom. So I'm a little bit concerned there.
But how much of that's Tom and how much of that's not throwing to Gronk and not throwing to a healthy Edelman?
Part of it that. Yeah, part of it's that. And he is truly frustrated. I mean, you could tell the first series he was ticked.
Well, they showed him on the sideline yelling at his wide receivers like, yeah, hey, we got to get more explosive. We got to this. We got to do that. And there wasn't really much of a response. Yeah. I just don't know if they could do it.
You know, I think those guys that he wants to be explosive are the guys that aren't sure of exactly what's going on. So rather than go 1,000 miles an hour and be wrong, they're, because they know Tom, you know, Tom will really jump them for that. So, you know, they're thinking, well, let me glide along here and see what's going on. And that's not what he wants.
Well, the problem with the Texans is their secondary. And because of that, like, since the secondary is the problem, you can't take advantage of that when you don't have any wide receivers and you can't throw the ball.
Right.
Well, the Titans have wide receivers. So I feel like that the Titans are okay matchup-wise against the Texans off of what I saw last night. The thing I worry about is I don't know the extent of the Adoree Jackson injury, and I don't know the extent of the LaShawn Sims injury and when those guys would come back. But no offense to Ty Smith and Orr and the other guys that were out there yesterday, but those guys can't cover Hopkins and Stills and Duke Johnson out of the backfield, and they can't cover those guys. It's like the Texans had no secondary last night and still put a corner on James White because they have no fear in anybody on the Patriots receiving core. But do you think this was just a little one step back like the Titan game last year for New England, or do you think New England's in real trouble?
No. Well, I mean, I'm sure they'll do something. You know, they always pull out of it. And they are, you know, they are 10-2. So it's kind of,
I know, it's kinda, but it's like Buffalo's record.
I think you get, you know, you look at it and you want to say, geez, that team's, you know, 4-4 or 5-5. No.
See, we talked about Buffalo earlier today. I think Buffalo is the cheapest 9-3 you will ever see. Buffalo gets four gimme games against the Jets and the Dolphins, so that's four wins right there. Plus, they play easily the worst division in the NFL, which is the NFC East, so that's four wins, so that equals eight before you have to play a game. Then they play Mariota, that's nine. So that's how, like, Buffalo got their cheap nine, and that's my theory about how New England's record is better than New England is. And this week will be telling when they play Kansas City. Because if Brady really can't throw, we'll find out this week. Because they will make him throw.
Yeah, I mean, they'll, you know, plus Frank Clark came to life yesterday. And so all of a sudden it looks like they're starting to, you know, that pass rush is rolling into position. And if that happens, then it really gets hard.
That game made me sick, too. I don't want to watch Oakland get their rear end spanked before they play you 2 weeks in a row. That just means that Oakland's going to be playing harder when they have to play you. And it's so frustrating. Okay, tomorrow the Predators get set to take on Tampa Bay. I have a pair of tickets. But do not miss this Wednesday night Smashville Live featuring Ryan Ellis and Austin Watson. They'll be in Cool Springs at Brewhouse South. The show starts at 7 o'clock. A limited number of autographs and pictures will be available, so be sure to get there early. This Wednesday, Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Yeehaw Brewing Company, and Red Spirits and Wine. Be caller 5-615-737-1025. You'll win a pair of tickets to see the Preds and the Lightning tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. Tough weekend for the Preds. They win 3-0. And then they lose 3-0. It's like, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away.
There you go.
That was pretty much what it was. Jared the GM, Preds Insiders, is coming up next. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.